From Trailblaze, this is Anchored, a Brody themed podcast style low sodium option for the ocean state sea salties opinions. We're your host, Shay.
And Elise. And today we're exposing Punxsutawney Phil, weather prognosticator extraordinaire.
Welcome back, loyal listeners, and if you're joining us for the first time, welcome to the show. If you haven't already given us a follow on our socials, check us out at Anchored the Show.
Ugh, boy, oh boy, what a day, Shay. I am so pleased that we've decided to dedicate an entire episode to the world's second most famous rodent.
Who's first?
Mickey Mouse, of course, but I'm talking the Solstice Seer, a.k.a. Grandfather Groundhog, a.k.a. the Wanton Whistle Pig, a.k.a. the Legendary Land Beaver, none other than Punxsutawney Phil himself. Themself?
Thyself?
Either way.
Gender. You don't gender groundhogs.
This one you do. His name is Phil. Either way, we all know the big G-O-D gave us Groundhog Day to help humans decipher Mother Nature's moods. So today, we tell the tale of...
Wait. Do groundhogs have tails?
Actually, I'm so glad you asked, Shay.
They have a knob.
Actually.
Speaking of knobs.
Before we get into the legend that is the wacky woodchuck, perhaps we should take a step back and provide some edutainment that we're known for. Shay, do you have an announcement?
Oh my God, this is my favorite announcement so far.
Go ahead.
Groundhogs are squirrels.
Yep, you heard it here first, guys. Groundhogs are actually squirrels.
Squirrels.
You may have heard that before. They're also called woodchucks, hence the name land beaver. And surprisingly, they also climb trees.
Well, yeah, they're freaking squirrels. They're motherfucking squirrels.
Yeah. And to answer your question from before, yes, they got tails and very big ones too. 7 to 9.75 inches long. I think it's under their like...
I thought it was a knob.
I'm not trying to fat shame them, but I think it's behind their like rump.
Pooch.
Their back rump. Like because it's... There's a lot of...
Their rumpus maximus.
Yeah. There's a lot of oomph back there. Oh, yeah.
A little fur in the trunk.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now that we have the facts of the groundhog covered, can you tell me more about Groundhog Day?
Honestly, Shay, I never thought you'd ask.
This is the birthday for every groundhog that's alive.
Not really, actually. So the first Groundhog
They're
Day
all Aquariuses.
On record was February 2nd, 1887, in which Shay is going to giggle, even though she's not even a 3/6 Mafia fan, of Gobbler's Knob. In Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania.
Gobbler's Knob.
Yep. So I know you're wondering.
Gobbler's Knob.
It's not Knobbler's Gob.
Not Knobbler's Gob.
Nope, Holy not that crap. Either. But so according to the sign, the Gobbler's Knob has two potential origins. First, it's that one, it might be that the area was once home to a large group of turkeys called rap.
And Gobbler's
going to make a gobble name or noise, excuse me.
Gobble, gobble.
And the second is the name that comes from the traditional act of quote unquote gobbling up woodland creatures after a hunt.
Like eating them or like collect, like harvesting them?
I don't know.
Rounding
to me,
up?
Only way I know about gobbling something is to, in fact, eat it. Yeah, not, we're gobbling, not slobbling.
Not. Rescuing.
No, not
not domesticating.
No, we're not doing any of those things. Anyway, essentially, as we all know, if a groundhog sees its shadow, it gets scared and runs back into its burrow that predicts 6 more weeks of winter.
Yeah, me too.
No shadow means an early spring.
Is there ever no shadow?
Yes, actually. For the record, I can understand this far more easily than I can understand daylight savings time.
It's a myth, a social construct.
Yeah. No shadow, spring. Big shadow, winter.
Winter.
I get it. Makes sense to me. I digress. Either way, Groundhog Day has its roots in Imbolc. I believe I might be saying that incorrectly. It's a pagan holiday celebrated on February 1st through sundown on February 2nd. It's based on a Celtic tradition. Imbolc, I'm just going to say it differently every time, was meant to mark the halfway point between winter solstice and the spring equinox in Neolithic Ireland and in Scotland. The holiday was celebrated by Wiccans and other practitioners of neo-pagan or pagan-influenced religions today. It is one of several pre-Christian holidays. highlighting some aspect of winter, sunlight, and heralding changes of seasons. Pause for questions.
I was going to say, how pissed are pagans that
they just
are getting all of their holidays stolen?
It was the original cultural appropriation.
Pagans.
Yeah. Shortly after the big JC, that's Jesus Christo for some of you.
Jesus Christ.
Became popular, the world got the ancient Christian tradition of Candlemas. Sort of like Christmas, but not actually at all.
But it's a commercial holiday from Bath and Body Works. I always get those two mixed up.
They're the same thing. Yeah. It just puts my allergies into a tailspin.
One has a movie with Adam Sandler. The click.
Oh.
Anyway.
Wow.
Not an Adam Sandler podcast.
No, not this one. Either way, Candlemas is when clergy would bless and distribute candles needed for winter. The candles represented how long and how cold the winter would be, which is a weird way to sell people stuff. Hey, it's going to be a short window. Winter, you only need these two candles. It'll be fine. Don't call me. Do not call me in February. Anyway, Germans expanded the concept of Groundhog Day prior to Candlemas coming around by selecting an animal, or the hedgehog, as a means of predicting weather. Once those wonderful Germans came to America, German settlers in Pennsylvania continued on with the tradition, although they switched from hedgehogs and badgers, which is a terrifying animal to use to predict the weather.
They are opinionated. I'm guessing that's where that came from.
Yeah, maybe. They're guess so.
This one has.
And so it's like having a Tasmanian devil babysit a first grade class. Anyway.
Winter!
From hedgehogs and badgers to groundhogs, which were more plentiful in their new home of America.
Okay, so they didn't bring any hedgehogs over, or not enough to tell the weather?
Not enough to tell the weather. So I'll get there, though. So back to February 2nd, 1887, which is the quote-unquote commercialization of Groundhog Day. So it was the brainchild of local newspaper editor Clymer Freias. So I think that's a name that should have stuck around longer than it did historically. Clymer, C-L-Y-M-E-R, like Elmer, but Clymer.
Clymer. I barely know her.
So, is that like a short lesbian joke? Or like a... Yeah, okay.
Just go on.
Why would... All right. Anyway, Clymer sold this idea to a group of businessmen and groundhog hunters known collectively as the Punxsutawney Groundhog Club. So, here comes the good stuff. The real juicy meat stuff, right?
The nice little rump on the groundhog.
Yeah, the little butt part. is the not-so-secret society of the Punxsutawney Groundhog Club Inner Circle. The Inner Circle is made up of 15 members, no more, no less, all whom take their positions very, very seriously.
Are these the people who dress up in the whole get-up every February 2nd?
Damn right they do. So the vice president of the Inner Circle prepares two scrolls in advance of the actual ceremony, one proclaiming six more weeks of winter and one proclaiming an early spring. On daybreak of February 2nd, Punxsutawney Phil awakens from his burrow. That was him awakening.
He had a sunrise alarm clock.
Yep, on Gobbler's Knob, and then is helped to the top of the stump by his handlers.
And Knob, stump. What else are you going to throw at me?
And purportedly... explains to the president of the Inner Circle. I just want to go back there. Phil.
The groundhog. Reports.
To the president of the Inner Circle.
Dr. Doolittle?
Nope. In a language known as groundhoggese.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Whether he has seen his shadow or not. I want to go out and just like... It's the only time that I'm okay with your mouth noises. This is the only time. So absolutely. Groundhoggies is like that Pennsylvania Dutch, like that like mayor of Easttown on HBO. Like rah, rah, jar, rah. Yeah, so that's kind of like Groundhoggies. So
don't the Amish have a language like that?
Very close, yes. So the president of the Inner Circle, the only person on earth able to understand Groundhogganese. No, groundhoggies. Excuse me. I didn't mean to. Groundhoggies. Through his possession of an ancient wooden cane. He has a magical staff on Gobbler's Knob. As he pulls the groundhog from the stump.
The innuendos just keep...
They write themselves. Anyway. said president interprets Phil's message from Groundhoggies to English and directs the vice president to read the proper scroll to the crowd gathered at Gobbler's Knob and the masses of faithful followers, all with PHs.
Yep.
All PHs. Faithful, not faithful followers, which I love. I love the alliteration here, that are all tuned in to live broadcasts across the world. So again, I just want to clarify, they go rustle up Puxatawny Phil.
A sleeping rodent.
A sleeping highfalutin rodent, mind you. Squirrel. They pull him from his bed and then force him to speak an ancient language. Only one other person who carries this stick understands to then tell us, dun-dun-dun-dun, 6 more weeks of winter. Or six weeks until spring or something. What are you thinking?
So, this groundhog has no job 364 days of the year. And then on one day, he's given this very important task.
You got a lot of toot in your voice for someone who believes in Santa.
Oh, well. That's a phase.
I just want to say.
So this groundhog is just, like, is this like one of those tortoises that live forever? Is this the same groundhog from 1887?
Yes. Yes, it is. What's even more interesting is that the inner circle maintains that they are still speaking to the same groundhog, the magical groundhog from the stick that they met in 1887. Yep, not a ghost, but the exact same one. Like Buddha, but like not really because it's the same one. Yeah. I want to note for the record, as this is edutainment, so this is the edu part of the tainment.
Of course.
That the average life expectancy of a non-magical groundhog is roughly 6 years, meaning that Phil is, and I did the math because I'm not good at it, so I did it because I wasn't going to be able to do this off the cuff, is 135 years old. Yeah, it's a good looking fucking Phil. So in the late, so here's the best part. In the late summer, the club makes the trek out to Phil's stump in Gobbler's Knob to feed him a quote unquote elixir of life. And the elixir is made of a secret
recipe. Ketamine?
Nope. The elixir is made of a secret recipe and provides Phil with a potion that has sustained his longevity and youthful good looks and shiny coat.
Fish oil.
Probably.
Omegas.
Yep. St. John's wort. The inner circle. So it's not just one day. So I know that you think this is like a Santa situation, but it's not. The inner circle also hosts events and gatherings throughout the week leading up to Groundhog Day, including... but not limited to.
Oh my God, it's like Super Bowl Sunday, but with a rodent.
Groundhog Ball, which I'm all for. Black tie affair with a groundhog theme. I'm in.
Is the groundhog there with a tuxedo?
I think so. I'm going to go out and on a limb and assume that.
Phil puts his dancing shoes on, clackety, clackety, clack.
And in a separate event is the groundhog banquet. So yeah, so there's a ball, which I absolutely adore. And I want to go to this. I also would like to be invited. This is me pitching right now to the inner circle that Shay and I come. I mean, we don't have to do it this year because I know it's a short window. You're not going to hear this in time. But
next year.
2023. This is me planting the groundhog seed.
Oh, my God. If we get to attend that ball.
I would die.
I'll wear the tux. I'll wear the groundhog.
No. What?
Too far.
Yeah, you're not gonna put, I think it would be like a hate crime if you murdered this groundhog. Anyway, so here, Shay, now that you know about this not so secret society, all of their great events, and how you're hesitant to believe that this groundhog is magical, would you rather join the Illuminati or the inner circle?
Do they let women into the inner circle or Illuminati?
You have to make that decision right now. You only get to pick one. You're either getting the inner circle or you're getting the Illuminati.
Illuminati, because I don't want to live in Gobbler's Knob.
Okay. We'll allow it.
Can you imagine that on your license?
I think Gobbler's Knob is like
Oh, it's like a village. It's like Wickford.
Yeah. It's like a park, and it's an area in Puxatawny.
Okay. Sure. Yeah. What about you?
Obviously, it's the inner circle, because I'm assuming that they're in charge of the Illuminati.
1887.
Just saying.
Boop, boop, boop. We're not great at math, but
I didn't hear about the Illuminati until.
Do you ever see the Illuminati and the Inner Circle in the same room?
No, you don't. I've never seen Beyonce and Gobbler's Knob. I've never once.
Oh, interesting. Well, now that we talked about the actual Groundhog Day, do you want to hear a little bit about the fictional Groundhog's Day?
Yeah, go ahead. Ruin this movie for me.
Known as, okay, because I hate it.
I don't know why I loved it.
It's the 1993 classic. I'm sure there was no Academy Awards one movie.
Shots fired.
Well, I'm just saying that actually, that's a part of the part of the story that I was a comedy. So it was released on February 12th, 1993, which means it was just a little late for actual Groundhog Day, like 10 days late.
Okay.
Do you
find some cruel irony there?
I'm just like, they were trying for the second and something happened. Something happened so they couldn't get it.
All right.
On the second.
I hope that there's a podcast directed just for that. Like, there's just a Groundhog Day podcast, and they, like, do a deep dive into why it was 10 days late. But go ahead. I'll let you go.
I think I might know why.
Oh, shit.
This is where our investigative journalism comes in.
Thank God. Thank God that was one of your majors in one of your colleges.
30 for 30.
Yeah.
Groundhog Day. There was some real-life beef between the star of the film, Bill Murray, and the director, Harold Ramis, during the production.
No.
Yeah, actually, yeah. Yeah. Harold wanted the film to have a comedic feel to it, and Bill was like, Bill was in a mood. I don't know. He's like, I feel moody. I want to wear black, and I want to have drama added to my IMDb. I don't know. But Harold's like, we did Caddyshack and Ghostbusters together. Like, we're a tight.
I thought that was the same Harold Ramis from Ghostbusters. Okay. It's the tall guy, right?
Yeah. And so Bill blindsided Harold and was like, I want to be moody. And Harold's just like, we don't do moody.
I feel like
we are not Hot Topic. We are Claire's.
Oh.
We are Claire's. And so they were feuding throughout the movie. And it did say that the production was stalled. It took a little bit longer because of this feud. And the two didn't speak until right before Harold's death.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so it was, I mean, they were friends. They were, like, best friends. And then something about this movie, about a groundhog, this is a life-changing groundhog.
Oh, my goodness. I want to know so much more about that.
Okay, so the plot of the movie, if you've definitely seen it.
Yeah.
Maybe one of you have not. Bill Murray, a.k.a. Phil, the Pittsburgh weatherman, travels to Punxsutawney, PA with his producer and cameraman to cover Phil the Groundhog on Groundhog Day and report on if he sees his shadow or not. Which I might add, doesn't matter. It's still going to be fucking cold. I don't care.
Yeah, but it's good to know if you should like plant your bulbs or not.
I don't know, man.
You're just not a gardener.
My birthday is one day into spring, which is basically still winter. So I'm always bitter cold. Always bitter cold.
Jesus.
So, anyway, Phil's kind of a grouchy guy.
Mm.
Not the happiest dude. He is eternally bothered in life, which I think bothered. If anybody's seen the movie, yeah, he just looks bothered to be a weatherman that has to go to Punxsutawney to report on a squirrel.
He has
rather larger, I don't know, a squirrel of unusual size.
I'll give you that. He does have the disposition of someone stuck in Rhode Island traffic.
Yeah.
He's just like, oh, for fuck's sake. Like,
FFS.
Yeah, exactly.
So he goes to Pennsylvania, Penny Slyvania, if you will. And he does the whole day, the whole pony show, the whole groundhog show. And he finds out that the weather's going to be so bad that his producer and his cameraman cannot leave to go back to Pittsburgh. So they're stuck in Gobbler's Knob. Well, the town. Apparently, Gobbler's Knob is just a knob in the town, I guess.
Punxsutawney.
So here's where it gets weird. As if this isn't already weird because we're having a movie about a rodent. The next day, Phil wakes up to the same song and the same banter on the radio. Then he walks downstairs at the bed and breakfast he's staying at, and the same man as the day before approaches him and starts the same conversation as the day before. My favorite line in the entire movie comes next when he goes into like the place where he eat at a bed and breakfast, and the manager of the bed and breakfast comes up and he's like, oh, how'd you sleep? And he's like, do you ever have deja vu? And she says, we might. I can go ask the kitchen if they ever make it. Because it's French. Anyway.
Like out of the whole movie, that's what your take was. Wow.
You know my humor.
Yeah.
And if any of you have seen more than just this episode, you know it as well. I'm so sorry. Anyway, so he predictably goes through his day. He's like, yeah, what the fuck, man? I already did this shit. And then he goes to bed, hoping that he would wake up on February 3rd. But he wakes up the next morning and it's Groundhog Day all over again.
It's another Groundhog Day.
It's another Groundhog Day. Eventually, he realizes there's no consequences for his actions, so he goes on a rampage of being a total fucking grade A blue ribbon dirtbag, starts acting like reckless. He commits crimes, he binges on his vices, and what I think is the worst of all, because I am a feminist, in that I like women and not men. I am a feminist. I'm a feminist. I watch the L Word.
Okay.
It's not the only qualifier. It's one of many to get into the club. You don't have to do. It's not a requisite.
I have not said a single word about you.
Just keep talking
over, like overcompensating for how much you're not just a lesbian. You're also a feminist, but you're not just a feminist. You're also a lesbian. To be clear,
it's like the groundhog, a squirrel, not just a groundhog. A squirrel.
Yep.
And a rodent. So he commits these crimes. He begins to manipulate women, which is the worst part of all, to sleep with him. Namely, his producer, one Andy McDowell, who was not the name of the character, but was the name of the actress.
Yep.
And that's where the movie lost me. So he tries to get with her, has some fun times, still wakes up the next morning. But then goes on, like, it doesn't even say how many days he lived through, apparently just one day, but she's pissed off at him so many times, and I was like, I don't know if I can watch this, so I turned it off. But I read the Wikipedia page, like, all good.
So I quit
because I couldn't handle it. Story of my life. I didn't watch much further, but I did I skipped to the last like 5 minutes of the movie just to see how bad this was. And this was after I read everything on Wikipedia, the only source for information. Besides Anchor the Podcast, we are a reputable source for all salt, low sodium, salty opinions in the ocean state. It's disgusting. It's like, whatever. Anyway, ends up with a woman anyway, because this is 1993 and this is Hollywood. Which I think, as my kindergarten teacher would put me in timeout for saying, stupid. And as I would say today, fucking stupid.
Mm.
Okay. First of all, he has this whole come to Jesus moment over the course of countless days and learns lessons and whatever. But how realistic is it that a woman would fall for a man after he behaves well for one day and tells her he's changed?
As a straight woman, very, very realistically. It's 100% gonna happen.
Right. Which is why Bill and Harold are both wrong. It's not a comedy. It's not a drama. It's a documentary.
It is. I actually really like the movie. Some people think, and like that's where Bill Murray was coming from, this was super moody. It was supposed to be jail. Like this is just this never ending loop of never being able to get out of it. But what it really was an opportunity to learn a lesson similar to that of Freaky Friday. You don't just
Lindsay Lohan
and Jamie Lee Curtis. You don't just get to not be Jamie Lee Curtis anymore. Jamie Lee Curtis has to realize that Lindsay has her own life to live. And so does Jamie Lee Curtis. And so then that's where, there's a lesson to be learned. So I'm all for it.
Okay.
Shay, I know that you need a little bit of calming now. So I'm going to give you other predictable animals. Like groundhog predicts the weather. Predictable. So for the past 30 years.
She touched me.
I slapped you. The residents of Vermilion, Ohio, who I have a friend who is from near there.
My old landlord's last name was Vermilion. This is meant to be. Go ahead.
Oh my God.
Vermilion. Not say her last or her first name.
Vermilions have turned to a very different creature for their annual weather forecast. A woolly bear caterpillar. Yeah. According to tradition, if the bugs have more orange than black coloring in autumn, the upcoming winter will be mild. God. Yeah, you know what's even scarier? That over 100,000 people attend every year to Woolly Bear Festival. It's held every fall since 1972.
Oh, it was the 70s.
It was the 70s.
Like I was there.
Yeah.
So, geez, I was not.
You were not there. But woolly bear caterpillars aren't the best prognosticators either. While their bands may vary from year to year, researchers have found the variation is due to last year's weather, not the upcoming weather. So, hashtag don't trust science.
Don't trust the woolly caterpillars.
Yeah. Hashtag only trust the woolly bear caterpillar.
Anywho, I have an animal and nobody should be surprised that it's a cat.
Yeah, we saw that coming.
Mm-hmm. It happens. Anyway, this cat is from Providence, Rhode Island, or I'm guessing the cat is dead now. I can only assume. But Oscar, the Grim Reaper cat from yours truly, Providence, Rhode Island.
Yep.
So the article was written that I got this information from 2012. So is Oscar living?
No, Oscar passed away. I think it was just prior to COVID. So I actually think it was 2019.
Were you friends?
We knew each other.
Yeah.
We had similar circles.
LinkedIn connections?
Yeah.
Oh.
First.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Oh my God. That means I'm a second LinkedIn connection with Oscar. Anyway, so he correctly predicted the death of 50 people in a nursing home right before they died. He would cuddle up with them, which is like super cute. Can you imagine being like with it in that nursing home and the cat jumps up? No, like
get out of here, cat.
Apparently he would like scratch at the door to get back in, like a normal cat. Anyway, I think that I'm just going to go out on a limb and say maybe he wasn't predicting it and maybe he just got a little bit of his fur stuck in the ventilator and it clogged up like a vacuum.
Oh my God, Shay. We're just gonna thank you for joining us tonight. I like that right here. You just write, but still, dead is dead. That's
dead is dead.
That's the line that you gave us.
But still, dead is dead.
Thank God. All right, I'm gonna change the subject because I'm uncomfortable. But now that we have more facts than we've ever needed, Shay, would you rather Groundhog Day, like the movie, or Freaky Friday?
I'd rather do Freaky Friday.
You're like, I'm not trying to learn that lesson day after day. Give me a week.
That's, I ain't got that much time. Let's go. I was annoyed watching Bill Murray do the same thing over and over and over again. I don't like repetition that much. Not good at it. So I'd be annoyed. If I was annoyed watching Bill Murray step in a puddle and talk to this insurance salesman that he went to school with, apparently, not going to do it. I will do Freaky Friday, though.
Oh, absolutely Groundhog Day. The fact that it resets, it means I get to rob a bank. I could do anything I've ever wanted to.
Did you not learn the lesson in the movie?
Yeah, I just kind of make my heart open to love. And then everything is fine.
And woo Andy McDowell. Maybe take a groundhog off of a cliff in a truck.
Yeah, there's all kinds of things I could do. But like I would do all the ones like robbing a bank and like the things that I want to do and like would just try out. Be like, it's all going to reset tomorrow anyway. Who cares?
Oversized. What would be the first thing that you would do?
Well, it's not rob a bank because I've already said that 7 times. I think I would just like, the problem is that I would still be me. So like, it would still be Elise. Like, I wish that I could Freaky Friday and then Groundhog Day.
Okay, Freaky Friday with me and then Groundhog Day.
Okay, perfect. So now that I'm Shay.
You have to feed the cat in the morning. He meows a lot.
I'm just going to leave town. I'm just going to skip out. I'll do something else. I can't figure it out. But nonetheless. I would prefer to Groundhog Day because there's just this amount of freedom in knowing that tomorrow's going to come and everything's going to be reset. So I could like burn my last dollar.
That's so hopeful.
Yeah. I'm an optimistic person. A woman of hope. I am an optimistic person.
Yeah. It's just like the motto of our state. Hope. The shortest motto in the whole country.
Yep.
Is there a period after hope? Is
that the motto?
No. Okay. It's just the word hope.
Yep. That's it.
Cool. Well, anything else to say?
No. Ultimately, I'm pro Groundhog Day. Not just the movie, which I suggest everyone watch, but also just like celebrating. It's exciting. Like it's a fun tradition that we get to do. It doesn't really hurt anybody. People get to dress up for it. I'm all for any sort of event where people get dressed.
You don't think the groundhog likes a little bit hurt under the armpits when it has to like get lift up?
I think that they like probably train for it a lot because like if it's got, also he's used to it. He's 135 years old. At this point, he's like, ah, oh, for fuck's sake. Oh my God. He's like, here comes Doug again. Like,
I don't get paid enough for this.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, I got a family.
Oh my home. God. But just think of ASPCA commercial, the song.
In the arms of. Yep.
It's like the Eliza Schlesinger bit, if anybody watched that 1,000 times like I did. But just imagine Punxsutawney Phil going in the wind. His little knob tail. Knobbing in the wind.
All right. Just if you enjoyed this episode.
Why would you?
Yeah, I have no idea. Give us a follow or a subscribe, depending on where or how you're enjoying this. Catch us on the socials at Anchored the Show on all social medias. But more importantly, don't forget to
stay salty.
Don't forget to
gobble a snub.
Stay salty. I was going to make you Groundhog Day it.
Oh, stay salty.
We're done. Anchored is produced by Trailblaze Media, along with myself, Elise Swearingen, and Shay Weintraub. From Trailblaze Media, Ezra Winters is our executive producer.